Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.
So here we are, exceeding 100 days. As I said about 2 months ago, as we started into this this budget standoff, this could be, you know, one of those things that the new year brings us, no new budget, where we're singing is all I want for Christmas is a damn budget. Because you look at what happened on Wednesday, again, you know, the power of I'm not going to raise taxes and I'm running for re-election right there front and center. Here to talk a little bit about what happened on Wednesday and where we go forward from here, I've asked John Neurohr. He's the communications director over at Keystone Progress. John, thanks for taking time for us.
Always good to be with you, Rick. Thanks for having me again.
So any surprise on Wednesday's outcome?
I wouldn't say that there's a surprise, no. I think it's important to note that there were 15 Republicans in the House who previously had shown that had publicly stated support for a shale tax, and they voted against the revenue, the bill as, you know, constructed, which was, that was a big part of the revenue component of Governor Wolf's plan. But this is not, you know, to the original question, it's not surprising.
Right.
I think that people like Grover Norquist and others like him are, you know, they're destroying America. It's just the truth, because we've made this notion of, you know, raising taxes, which is the revenue side of a two-sided budget balance sheet, and it's critically important, but we've made it radioactive in a way that is so bad for our ability to, you know, to self-govern, from local governments to state governments and obviously the federal government as well. And you saw now that it's not just Republicans who feel as though the tax increase is radioactive. You have Democrats who are afraid of primary challenges from more conservative Democrats or the Republican opponent being able to hammer them on doing the right thing, which is being smart about how we're raising revenue so that we can pay for the things that we need to have in Pennsylvania. So it is not surprising, but it is nevertheless still very depressing.
Here's the thing that's interesting to me, though, John, and the sad reality is I saw a number of the Republicans saying that they were willing to increase taxes, the personal income tax, if it was a dollar-for-dollar trade-off with property taxes, but they're not going to tax the drillers. And I'm going, so let me get this straight. We're going to attack low-wage workers by making them pay a higher personal income tax, but we're still going to protect the drillers? What sense does that make?
Well, it doesn't make any sense. And, you know, the other problem here is the situation that we're at right now after the bill goes down on Wednesday is you have these negotiations that are apparently going to pick up again next week with just legislators. So the governor, at least for the beginning of next week, so they say, is not part of these negotiations. So you have all these people who are running for re-election, by the way, which is a huge component of this, talking about other potential revenue streams. That's got to be what the conversation is. And in reality, there aren't a whole lot of other potential revenue streams that are long-term sustainable solutions. Now, there could be that there are some it's almost like a budget tricks. It's things that we've done in the past, frankly, in the past few years, to try to balance the budget at least somewhat in the short term. But it doesn't fix our long-term problem. It's not sustainable. It's the kind of thing that the creditors look at and they say, well, you know, this is why we're going to downgrade, the status of credit from Pennsylvania, for the state of Pennsylvania, because you're going year on year and using budget gimmicks and tricks that aren't going to fix this problem long term, and we still have to pay for public schools. We still need to pay for these critical social services and infrastructure and all those things. So we're talking about things like liquor privatization. And the numbers show that long-term, that's a bad deal for the state of Pennsylvania. But that's the kind of thing that they want to have a conversation about when it comes to the increase in revenue. So, you know, they want to have a conversation about the pension crisis instead of really sitting down and saying, okay, look, how are we going to make this sustainable for the long term? You know, how are we able to have a budget balance sheet that shows the money in that we need and we're able to send the money out that the people need? And, you know, it seems like there aren't really any adults that want to have that conversation, at least in the Republican caucus.
I'm with you, but how much of that comes back to us? I mean, the reality is we've been so pitted against one another at the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder that we're only focused on each other. And to me, it's the perfect scenario where you've got the Republicans saying we're willing to raise personal income taxes on low-wage workers, and we're not going to go after the drillers or the corporate special interests. They're almost sacrosanct in this whole discussion, which I think, you know, you go where if you need to raise revenue, you go where the revenue is. You don't go to the Little Sisters of the Poor begging for pennies.
Yeah, and the real question, though, is not, you know, if you need to raise revenue, you go where you can raise the revenue. It's when you need to raise campaign cash, you go where the campaign cash is. So in the end, what I said before about how legislators, both Republicans and Democrats, are worried about reelection, they're worried both about what a vote on increasing taxes could look like, which is the responsible thing to do is for them to vote for the bill that was on the table on Wednesday. But they didn't do it because they're afraid of that being a campaign attack. But it's not just that. They're also afraid of not getting the check from the oil and gas companies that are operating in their districts. And so when you talk about the willingness to, throw the folks on the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder under the bus, that's because those people aren't writing big campaign checks. And it's also because we're not, you know, doing our job to make our voice heard. There was an editorial, I believe, in the Patriot News this week that makes this point. Where are all the people screaming and yelling with signs in Harrisburg? There have been some. And we work with some partner organizations that have done an amazing job in doing their best to pull things like that together, but it's not enough. So, you know, that's another part of it, is that constituents are not doing what they need to do to make sure that their representatives know that they're not doing their jobs right now.
No, and this is what I've been saying for the longest time. I think what's been going on is it's what I said happened in Wisconsin. People were just so inundated with all of the stuff going on and all of this that people just tuned it out, because most folks, they just want to lead their lives. They just want to go to work, play with their kids, cut their grass, do whatever they got to do. They don't want to know about all of this dysfunction and all of this just chaos. And I think, you know, the wealth class of this country, they understand that and put that out there for us so that we turn away from the system. We go, they're all corrupt, they're all bad, it's all broken, and we leave it alone.
Yeah. Well, and there isn't a whole lot of, the unfortunate thing is right now we can sit here and we can say, okay, well, where is the tipping point? You know, let's look down the road. Let's take a look at the calendar. Where's the tipping point? And the unfortunate thing is that the only kinds of things that could be motivating factors could be the tipping point for legislators in Pennsylvania right now would be absolute catastrophes.
Yep.
Right? You have
another collapse.
A school district that literally has no money left, that they cannot do. I mean, and we're getting close. I mean, we're in situations in a number of school districts across the state where we're close. But think about the ramifications and who suffers. Kids. You have, you know, school kids, K through 12 kids, who will probably end up being the collateral damage in this ridiculous budget impasse.
And, you know, as I've always said, you go back to the old labor frames. Maybe your stomach has to be empty before your head gets right. Maybe that's what it has to come to.
Because, yeah, well, and I, you know, the other thing that, that comes to mind for me, and I think this was actually in that same editorial that I was talking about in the Patriot News, is, you know, you a recession is when your neighbor loses their job. A depression is when you lose your job.
Right.
And that's just another way of saying, you know, until it really, really, really hits home for their constituents, they can continue to play these games in Harrisburg and get away with it. And, you know, it does feel like a game of chicken, right? That nobody really wants to be the one to say, okay, uncle.
No, I'm with you. I mean, what we've seen is we've seen the Freedom Caucus, the Mad Max Caucus, the Scorched Earth Caucus, whatever you want to say, come from D.C. here to Harrisburg and to other states across the country. And at what point people who are like me are and you, political observers, going, you know, at what point do the people rise up? And I think you're right. When do they start taking to the Capitol? When are there mass protests? When are there people marching in the streets?
Well, and it's, you know, it's groups like the Freedom Caucus. You know, you mentioned that's happening right now in D.C. With the mess, the absolute mess in the House of Representatives. But the problem is that what they do from an electoral standpoint, from a campaign standpoint, is they promise things that they can't deliver.
Right.
Right. And whether they know they can't deliver or not, I'm not sure. I mean, it's frightening to think that they don't understand what they're doing when they campaign. They're trying to, offer things up to their constituents that they know they can't deliver.
Yeah, I'm going to repeal Obamacare. I'm going to ship the 11 million undocumented workers out of the country. Those kind of things.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's happening here too. I mean, and that's another component of that Grover Norquist-esque never raise taxes pledge from legislators that is now, a must-do for Republicans who want to run for office up and down the ballot. But that's not what governing is.
Right.
It might be what campaigning is. It's not what governing is.
Good
and
point.
It's irresponsible. It really is.
So where do you see this going from here? I mean, Wednesday went, as I think most, I got to be honest, I was surprised 73 Democrats voted for it. Because, you know, the reality is you are campaigning. I was kind of shocked that 73 had the courage to step up and say, no, look, our situation is what it is. We need to increase revenue. It's one of the things that I gave George H.W. Bush credit for. He saw the book, said, hey, we got to bring some revenue in. And I thought did the right thing. Where do we go from here, though? Where do you see the next week to the end of the year?
Yeah, I just don't look at those other potential options for revenue and see a path to a budget that can pass and not be vetoed. So I think that we're going to continue to see this game of chicken, most specifically on sales tax increase and, on a shale tax. And in the end, there's no question the governor's in a tough spot, and the budget that he put forward originally was a really, really good budget. It's the kind of responsible budget that you would expect from a person like Governor Wolf with a lot of great business experience. He understands sustainable budgets, but I don't know where the person, where is the situation where somebody says uncle, and what does that mean? I just don't know. I mean, that's what's so crazy about this situation. I feel like you and I have talked about this for so many weeks now, and there hasn't been a whole lot of change in the dynamics, and that's not normal. We usually, when we're talking about a political story like this, we can sit back and have a pretty good educated guess about how things play out and where the end game is. And I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's scary.
I'm with you. I'm in the same thing because I don't know how the new leadership of the Republican House and Senate, how they react. We know that they're usually somewhere off to the fringe, but you know, these aren't governance people.
And in the end, back to what we said before, here's the unfortunate reality. Because I think this game of chicken continues, then you really are going to start to see real ramifications in school districts. So for kids, Social services are already hurting. It's just going to get worse.
And it's going to be the most vulnerable who are going to take the brunt of it first.
Yes, and that's the problem. And frankly, what's really sad is I think that there are a whole lot of legislators in Harrisburg who don't care.
Yep. No, and that's where I was going with it as well. Because the sad reality is they believe they were sent to Harrisburg to change things. For the worse, obviously, and you know, to make sure nothing gets done, because they're not people who believe in governance, and that's the part that's frustrating.
Right. Well, and in the end, it's about getting reelected. I mean, we live in that world, right? That's the political reality, right?
Yeah.
It's you know, they're always fundraising as soon as one election's over. It's preparing the strategy and the fundraising plan for the next one.
Good point.
And that campaign plan and the fundraising plan, they don't necessarily take into consideration the most vulnerable among us that we're talking about, that rely on these social services, and those people, to them, they don't vote. Those people, to them, they don't live in their district, which, by the way, is wrong, but that's the misconception. They are not worried about those people. They're worried about the people that write them checks and get them, you know, to the next election. And it's just so sad.
Sadly, you're correct. Last question I've got for you. What do we do, in these next several weeks? Because, look, we're heading, it's not too far to Thanksgiving, too far after that till Christmas. Conceivably, we could be looking into January before anything gets done. What should people be doing?
Well, a quick plug. If you go to our website, keystoneprogress.org, you can sign up in the top right-hand corner of that first page you get to. Sign up for our mailing list. And, I mean, I know it sounds like it's a plug for our organization, but what we're trying to do is keep people informed and give them opportunities to engage. So, for example, this week, before the vote and as it was happening, we put up a page that allowed people to quickly and easily write letters and submit them directly to their representatives. And then we also had them printed and delivered them physically in person at the Capitol. So it's those kinds of things. We're trying to keep people informed, but also give them easy ways to engage. But, you know, we also need to think about the harder ways to engage. We also need to think about what we can do by going in person to our legislators' offices. I think we're going to get to that point, unfortunately, where we're really going to start to feel the effects of this game of chicken, and it's going to be more than just sending a letter. But we're going to do our best as an organization, and our partners are doing a great job to try to organize and get people the information they need to do that.
And it's what we need. We need folks mobilizing people so that we can, when we need to, exert a little pressure where needed.
Sounds
reasonable,
right,
to me. John, I appreciate you taking time for us.
Thank you so much, Rick. As always, it's a pleasure, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right, fantastic. Our friend, good friend John Newark, he is the comms director over at Keystone Progress. You want to take a look at their website? Go to therickssmithshow.com. Just click on John's name. Take you right there. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show.